Is this the end of the see and avoid era? Boeing will demonstrate unmanned cargo aircraft for the U.S. Marines. And Airbus notes a milestone in the A350 program. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 12th, 2009. We're starting to get a glimpse of how the FAA's Next-Gen Air Traffic Control Initiative plans to integrate unmanned systems into the national airspace. It's called Trajectory-Based Operations, and the Joint Planning and Development Office got a presentation March 24th from the FAA's Rowena Mendez, which described the concept. Current ATC is considered state-based and relies on humans to see and avoid. Trajectory-based operations, according to materials presented at the conference, relies on negotiated trajectories or routes and assumes, quote, the roles of pilots and controllers will evolve to support the requirements, unquote. The timetable calls for a demonstration of trajectory-based operations using unmanned aircraft as soon as this year. GE Aviation announced this week it has entered into a CRDA, that's a Cooperative Research and Development Agreement, with the FAA to provide operational and technical assessments to support the integration of unmanned aircraft systems into the national airspace system, including assessment of trajectory-based operations. Simulation will be conducted at the FAA's William J. Hughes Technical Center beginning this fall and will continue for 2 years. It's not completely clear, but it looks as if the NAS may be moving from a paradigm of see and avoid to the era of here it comes, get out of the way. We'll keep an eye on this development and bring you details when we can. Boeing's newly created Unmanned Airborne Systems Division has received a $500,000 contract from the U.S. Marine Corps' Warfighting Laboratory to demonstrate the company's A-160T Hummingbird for the Marines' Immediate Cargo Unmanned Aerial System Demonstration Program. John Gronenboom, A-160T Program Manager for Boeing, calls the opportunity a big win for the division. Quote, since 2007, when the A-160T made its first flight, it has shown it has the ability to carry multiple payloads and perform at various altitudes and speeds. We're confident it will perform well for the Marines, unquote. The contract calls for Boeing to perform a demonstration in February in which a Hummingbird delivers at least 2,500 pounds of cargo from one simulated forward operating base to another in fewer than 6 hours per day for 3 consecutive days. The Marines are looking ahead to shifting some cargo shipments now conducted by truck to UAVs. The Hummingbird is an autonomous rotorcraft, 35 feet long with a 36-foot rotor, which automatically optimizes itself for speed, load, and altitude. It's already demonstrated its ability to hover at 20,000 feet and cruise at more than 140 knots. The A-160T also established a world endurance record in its class last year, staying aloft for 18.7 hours without refueling. Lots of attention is paid to both milestones and glitches in Boeing's Dreamliner program, but Airbus is still working on the A350XWB, too. Airbus says it has completed the second large fuselage test segment for the new widebody, which it hopes to deliver to customers starting in about 4 years. At 54 feet long and about 18 feet in diameter, Airbus says the demonstrator closely reflects the fuselage's final design. This section was used to develop and validate the complete process chain, from the manufacture of individual panels, frames, and clips, to shell assembly, section assembly, and the production of circumferential joints. Airbus claims firm orders for the A350 currently stand at 493 from 31 customers worldwide. A few days ago, the company announced an MOU for the sale of 12 more A350s to Ethiopian Airlines. Up next on ANN, the FAA approves the Falcon 7X for steep approaches. Tarmac strandings mushroomed in June, and stimulus funds are used to make over Payne Field. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 12th. I'm Paul Plack. ANN congratulates the College Park Airport in Maryland, which is celebrating 100 years of operation this month. Prince George's County, Maryland, will hold its annual airfare on August 29th and unveil a 1909 Wright military flyer as part of the celebration. A variety of civilian airshow acts will perform, and tickets are only $4 for adults, $2 for kids 2 through 17, accompanied by an adult. Dassault Falcon has received approval from the FAA to perform steep approaches with slopes up to 6 degrees in the Falcon 7X. This will allow U.S.-based operators to fly the plane directly into London City Airport, Lugano, Switzerland, and other airports requiring steep approach landings. Dassault Falcon CEO John Rosenvallen observes, quote, "Business aviation is all about the need for efficiency and access to hard-to-reach places, and an airport like London City combines the two. Direct access to this important financial center is sure to benefit our U.S.-based customers, allowing them to be in meetings moments after landing," unquote. London City is a particularly daunting place to bring a jet. Aircraft that expect to operate there have to demonstrate the ability to land in a little over 4,300 feet and take off in under 4,000. Dassault Falcon says the 7X had already demonstrated a noise profile similar to a much smaller turboprop, satisfying the tough noise standards there. Dassault Falcon says crews will need to undergo a day of specialized training before flying the steep approaches. That's currently available at its Burgess Hill facility in the UK and is coming soon to Morristown, New Jersey. An amendment to the aircraft's flight manual covering data and procedures for the approach are also imminent. FlyersRights.org reports that FAA data for the month of June shows 278 airline flights in the U.S. included tarmac strandings of 3 hours or more. That's more than in the four previous months combined, although the reliability of the self-reporting to the FAA by the airlines in the past has been highly suspect. The airlines blame weather for the delays. Flyers Rights founder Kate Hanai commented, quote, "These numbers belie the airlines' contention that if they're only given time and flexibility to do so, they'll reduce tarmac delays voluntarily. God makes storms, but airlines are the ones who make passengers sit through storms on the tarmac. They only think they're God," unquote. Hanai's coalition has been pushing for federally mandated limits on how long passengers can be held on a delayed plane without being allowed off. The airlines argue that safety and security policies and laws often tie their hands. The Senate Commerce Committee has unanimously approved the bipartisan Boxer Snow Airline Passengers Bill of Rights, which would give passengers the option to disembark after 3 hours. But the House version would leave the airlines to determine their own time limits. The FAA has awarded an $8 million grant to Snohomish County, Washington, for runway rehabilitation at Payne Field, where Boeing manufactures four of its airliner families, including the 747 and the upcoming 787 Dreamliner. Also on the field are Aviation Technical Services, which refurbishes large aircraft, and several aerospace-themed attractions. The Seattle Press Intelligencer reports that runway 16 right, 34 left was nearing the end of its design life, having last been done over in 1996, which is now 13 years and many heavy landings ago. The refurb was started with Recovery Act money and another $11 million of the $19 million total expected from the FAA over time is also reportedly stimulus funding. The whole job is projected to cost $20 million and be completed over the next few years with the help of additional federal airport grants. Still ahead, Northwest Airlines lawyers go after a tourism website. Your iPhone can now help you work your GPS. And if you start seeing airplanes with trailer hitches, here's why. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Paul Platt. KTVB in Idaho reports that lawyers from Northwest Airlines tried to shut down a tourism website at the URL www.gonorthwest.com, claiming trademark infringement. King TV in Seattle reports website operator Jack High had his lawyer send hostile letters back, and the airline finally backed down, insisting that High not engage in any activity which, quote, "interferes with our brand, such as selling airline tickets," unquote, which High had not been doing anyway. Jack's website's been in operation for about 10 years. How much longer will Delta even be keeping the Northwest name? In my interview with Max Trescott from AirVenture a few days ago, you may recall he said he'd have something new to show us within a week or two. Well, it's here. Max Trescott GPS guides for the iPhone are now available to help pilots operate their GPSs. The guides are being introduced through a partnership with Hilton Software and include applications for the Garmin GPS Map 296, 396, 495 and 496, and 695 and 696. Dr. Hilton Goldstein, CEO of Hilton Software, says the apps, quote, offer unprecedented ease of use and eliminate fumbling through checklists, unquote. The iPhone-based checklists offer sample screenshots and can be updated as GPS manufacturers add new features. The apps are available through the Apple iTunes Store for about $30, and because it's an iPhone, any elementary school kid can figure it out. Is it just me? Or does this all maybe suggest we should just let Apple design the user interface for our avionics? I mean, just saying. Authorities in La Plata County, Colorado, say they'll go to civil court to recover $30,000 in expenses from a man they say got drunk, called 911, and falsely reported that a plane crash had severed his arm and killed as many as 12 other people. 50 search and rescue workers were scrambled to the location allegedly specified by 59-year-old Edward Pretzer. They frantically searched along dirt roads just inside a Ute Indian reservation for the wreckage. None was found. Pretzer was located using GPS coordinates from the 911 call. The Durango Herald reports Pretzer was visibly intoxicated when arrested and told an investigator he thought he was talking to a friend when he made the 911 call. And finally, Gila Plane of Minneapolis, Minnesota, wants to sell the military trailers for aircraft, essentially towed gyroplane gliders with big cargo compartments that would be released just before the tow plane lands. The trailers would then land autonomously using systems similar to those used by UAVs. Laugh if you will, but CEO John Morris says bush pilots, who often have to make multiple trips to get people and their gear into remote areas of Alaska, were all over this idea when they first heard about it. The city of Minot, North Dakota, is excited enough about the prospect of 60 new jobs manufacturing the trailers that it's voted to loan the company $500,000 to set up production there. It's a little hard to find much info on the company on the web, but if it successfully demonstrates its technology, methinks the FARs are about to get a lot more complicated. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the second of our edited excerpts from the Meet the Administrator forum at EAA AirVenture, Randy Babbitt offers his take on the state of light sport aircraft and when we'll really see next-gen air traffic control. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.